Hey, gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, and a very helpful and courteous staff. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Find them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown with Space Rehearsal and Recording. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend. Hey, gang, I want to take 1 second to thank you for listening to the show because I know you have a lot of choices out there. And you have chosen episode 1269 of How Did I Get Here to listen to. And I really appreciate it. I want to let you know if you're kind of new to the show or you're not subscribed to the show, you can subscribe to the show on any of the streaming platforms. You can rate us. You can leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, all the places. You'll also be able to find the latest 100 episodes. As I said, this is episode 1269. So we've been doing this since 2011, putting out two shows a week with I don't do seasons. People do seasons. Like, yeah, we do 8 shows and then we take a 6-month break. I don't. I just put shows out year round, 2 shows a week at least. This week, this show's dropping on, normally the shows come out on Tuesday and Friday. But this week, this one's dropping on Monday. Why, you ask? Because we're dropping 3 shows, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So yeah, get out there, subscribe, follow us, and also thank you for listening. You can find me on socials. You can find How Did I Get Here on Facebook, but you can find me, Johnny Gowdy, on Instagram. And on Twitter, I am at Johnny Gowdy on both of those places. That's where I put the stuff about the podcast, put the stuff about the music, and talk about my life. You'll get to see lots of pictures of my puppy, Rosie, who is laying here at my feet because we went to the park when we got back from Houston this morning, and she had a really, really good time. Hey, gang, I've got a great show for you today. I've been reading a lot about, maybe you have if you live in Austin, you're part of the music community, there is a new grant available. It is the Live Music Fund event program that is available to Austin professional musicians and bands and independent promoters, and they can apply for either $5,000 or $10,000 grants that could fund their awarded projects. Now, this is being given out by the City of Austin. In fact, City of Austin Music and Entertainment Division. And today, we have the manager of the City of Austin Music and Entertainment Division, Erica Shamily. She's a fantastic person. I've known her for years. I saw that she was doing a lot of promotion for this and the city was doing a lot of promotion for this, but I didn't really see a lot of in-depth conversations about it. So I thought like, hey, will you come in here and just kind of talk about what the city does, what this music office does? It really does a lot, man. It's amazing. The ATX Music, you can find them at atxmusic.org, but the City of Austin Music and Entertainment Division is housed within the Economic Development Program. So the Economic and Development Department's Music and Entertainment Division delivers programs and services to innovate and grow Austin's commercial and nonprofit music and entertainment industries. All right, so this grant, the Live Music Fund Event Program, to help you sort of like fund your events, your big musical events. Basically, the funds are used to cover expenses for the music event itself, studio and video production, staffing and professional services, merchandise and distribution, and music broadcasting, and even more. And the application deadline is May 16th. All right. So I asked Erica to come on the show, talk about this program, talk about this these grants. Now, not only do you get this money to do this, but you also get education on how to put on a show that makes money. Yeah, Erica's been in the business for a really long time, man. She's done a lot of different stuff in the business. She worked with ACL Live, Levitation. She's a co-founder of the Austin School of Film. We talk about all of this stuff, but mostly we talk about the City of Austin Music and Entertainment Division and this particular grant, the Live Music Fund Event Program. But we also kind of talk about what they're trying to do to fill in the cracks in the City of Austin. within the music community and the entertainment community. So this is a really good and informative conversation. Erica, as I said, is a wonderful person. I always enjoy talking to her. So without further ado, Division Manager of the City of Austin Music and Entertainment Division, Erica Shamily. Let's get down. I don't know how people are starting out now. Like, you know,
Well, there's like 10 people living into a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
A lot of times. I've heard that across the board. I mean, we did that to an extent, but a lot of times it was bands like living in the house
right.
because they were going to practice together.
Right.
And now it's just anyone they can find, you right. know, to help pay the bills.
Correct.
So it's tough out there.
Yeah.
It's not just Austin. I mean,
it's no,
you know.
No, and the thing is I was just talking about this with my old manager the other day, is that Jane Wiedland from the Go-Go's had a song on the Pretty Woman soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard this song?
I remember having that soundtrack way back when.
Exactly, but nobody knows this song.
Right.
And she's the person that like points it out. Like, you don't know this song.
Mm-hmm.
Sold 7 million copies and made her more money than than being in the Go-Go's. Like, having a... That will never happen anymore. That kind of... So, like, even, like, the carrot that you're going for, the ring that you're going for, like...
It's going further and further away, or
further
getting
and further
harder,
away. Yeah, there's all these neat things that have democratized. Like, you can make a song yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you can put it out yourself, and you
it
can
sounds great.
Do all this neat stuff, but the sort of what's happening at the it's the money involved with it, and having it actually be a career. It's almost like a really expensive hobby for people at this point.
Or you're like also an influencer in a way, because YouTube is a lot of the how most young people are still inhaling media. And so it's a different generation too of where they're finding new music. It's like video games, YouTube, and other people's videos, like, you know, of YouTube stars. And so just now I feel like that, you know, all of the agencies are obviously getting up to speed because got some money to make there.
Right.
But it's harder because there's just more of it. It's worldwide. It's global. It's hard to break into that with new fans that are young if you're not Taylor Swift or something like that.
Yeah. And it's weird because you gauge things like when we were at a younger age, you saw the cover of Rolling Stone and the person on the cover of it, you knew who they were.
Yeah.
And now that sort of thing, the lanes are so, everyone has their own lane. You might, like, you'll see a mainstream magazine with someone on the cover and you're like, who is this person?
It happens to me all the time.
Who in the world is,
like this Love is Blind thing, like people freaking out. I'm like,
I don't know.
What is that? I don't know. I don't even know what these shows are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of influencers and people that are stars that I'm like, I don't know who anyone is anymore. Which is I guess that shows my age. I am getting older, and that's part of it. But, you know, it is tougher, I think, to break. But being in a city like Austin at least does give you opportunities to play and develop.
Well, yeah.
And actually have a live music scene. And you see that in other cities, but not quite the same way as Austin, because I know we've lost some venues, but we also have gained some venues.
Yes.
And it seems to kind of always be at this good point of different size venues to help people play and to develop. So, you know, that's what we're hoping to do with this grant, the Live Music Fund event program, is to empower musicians and promoters to have funds to, A, learn how it actually works. Don't just show up and say, we have a gig, I have three gigs this week, and you show up and you get paid, hopefully, at the end of the night. This is to show you how this actually works in the industry, best practices, show you how to budget out. This is who typically gets paid. This is how you can make money on tickets or sponsors or, you know, there's a lot of professional development that goes into it as well. Because we want to empower musicians to learn how to get paid, because they see where they fit within the budget, within the project, whatever it is. It could be a record, it could be a video, it could be an event. we want to teach people this is industry standards. This is how the music industry works. You need to start advocating for yourselves and learn how it works so that you can start earning more money. See where the money's coming from, and you can advocate for yourself to have more profits, you know, of a certain situation. And also just to take some of the risk out of it. These grants will help take some of the risks. Venues will get paid, artists will get paid. And also we're hoping for new collaborations through the guidelines. So, and that also always leads
when you say new collaborations through the guidelines, what do you mean, who's collaborating?
So we spent about 2.5 years developing the grant guidelines with the Music Commission.
Okay.
And working with the Systemic Racism Working Group and the Live Music Fund Working Group, and through many hours during Relief and Recovery, because we were also running a ton of grant programs for Relief and
Correct.
Recovery.
Yeah.
Also forming these guidelines. So the core part of the foundation of the guidelines is preservation, innovation, and elevation and collaboration, which is PIE. And so that is to incentivize and prioritize events that kind of help musicians meet new people, work in new genres, work in new venues they've never worked before. Because what we're trying to do is just diversify. Like, you know, that there are so many amazing genres and musicians in Austin that represent all kinds of cultures, you know, all different people.
Yeah.
And we want to be sure that everyone feels welcome to, you know, approach a venue or have the capacity to be part of the scene, to be part of the live music scene here in Austin, that it's not just a certain few that know the gatekeepers
right,
to get
yeah.
them into the venues.
Yeah, yeah.
That we want to make sure that everybody has, you know, access to perform. And not just in house parties because no one plays a certain genre. Or, oh, my friends, like young people, like, oh, we do house parties because I don't feel like I belong in any of these venues.
Right.
So we're trying to, you know, kind of fight that systemic racism that, you know, is throughout our country, but, you know, but also can be pervasive in the music industry, not just in Austin, but everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to use these funds to prioritize collaborations where artists are working with artists they've never worked with before, perhaps
right.
with like musicians they've never worked with before,
right?
And in venues they've never worked before. And the goal is for people to meet, become friends, learn, and create new stuff that they otherwise wouldn't have created.
Yeah.
And so it's an exciting opportunity to not only hopefully inspire folks to create new kinds of things with the funds, but also take the risk away of like losing your shirt or putting something on a credit card. Like, please don't put stuff on a credit card anymore. Don't put your record on a credit card or your tour on a credit card.
Yeah.
We're hoping this support will pay for the actual things that actually have costs associated with them.
Yeah.
And you budget out how much are the artists going to get paid.
Yeah.
This is the venue rental, you know, nut that we've got to pay. Then if we do it that way, we can keep all the ticket sales and it starts showing you different ways of raising money beyond just the grant.
Right.
You can still sell tickets. You can still get sponsorships. You can still do everything you typically would in the industry, sell merch, sell records, t-shirts, make money from your event. But we're hoping what the grants will do is take care of some core expenses so that you're not just pulling yourself out of a hole and hope to be in the black
right.
after it's all said and done. We want
right.
people to have extra money
right.
with this.
And there's also like you guys are helping people out. Sorry, I'm going through like
mm-hmm.
that. By the way, first of all, that was an incredible pivot.
Because it's all what it's about.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why
no, I know,
we're
I know,
here.
I know.
You know, it is so hard here. I've been in Austin since 1990. I have gone to thousands of shows since that time. I've been in the music industry with festivals and venues. And I've never seen it this hard, because it's not just hard for musicians and artists. It's hard for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard for the people working in the venues, working
right.
in the hotels.
Right.
The whole service industry has kind of been left behind in this huge growth of Austin. All the expenses have gone up. Wages have stayed somewhat stagnant.
Yes.
That's somewhat hopefully shifting and evolving. But even if you're making $20 an hour, it's almost impossible to, you know, live. You certainly can't buy a house still.
No.
And so that's what we're hoping, not only to, you know, diversify our industry, make people feel welcome, make everyone, whether you're an audience person, you know, or an artist, that you feel welcome and right. that you belong in Austin, in right. the Austin music industry.
Right.
But also, we can't solve the affordability crisis, you know, crushing down on us, but we certainly can help people learn how to earn more money
yeah.
in this industry.
And yeah.
it doesn't just have to be a $50, you know, fee that you get paid at the end of the night. That's just nothing. We don't want to see that anymore.
Right.
We need to see realistic wages paid to musicians and to venues and to everyone else that is involved to make it, you know, workable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting in that venue thing. Like when I started out and I lived in Houston and I was in a band that was managed by Fitzgerald. So mm-hmm. from a pretty early stage of my career, I was in the back room with the people learning how, okay, you know, this is why you don't get paid that much, or this is right. why this is, you know what I mean? But it wasn't until... Remember when the in 2020 when someone was going to give One-to-One a grant? I can't remember mm-hmm. who it was. That maybe it was you guys that got it. Somebody got, mm-hmm. somebody was going to give them this grant, and the guy was like, "Look, this is going to give me like $20,000, but like if we don't open, like this is just going to pay two of the month's rent." Then you're yeah. like, "Holy moly, man! These guys are paying $10,000 a month rent."
I know, it's crazy. I've talked to so many venue owners of the differences of today versus 15 years ago or yeah. even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the impression is that venues are hand over fist making a killing and making a ton of money. It's
no,
just not the case.
Yeah.
Most of them, especially if you're in the core of Austin, are paying at least $10,000 a month. And those prices can surge during the spring festival season when, you know, and deals were made way back when you would make a ton of money on South by Southwest through corporate sponsors and day parties and different things. And so some of these leases balloon for that month.
Oh, right.
And then, but then people aren't making nearly as much money as
right.
they used to,
right.
but they're still stuck in these leases that also, you know, are based on a business model of like of a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I would consider most live music venues nonprofits at this point because they truly are doing it as a service to put the shows on, to pay their staff, to pay their employees and the artists as best they can.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you can't sell enough beer or $20 tickets to pay $10,000 a month. There's just not enough beer in the world to sell.
No.
So this is why we're hoping with this type of grant also that venues can do venue rentals. This is not a pay-to-play situation. All venues will do a rental as
right.
a house nut so that the artist who's, or whoever's organizing the show that
right.
gets to keep everything. There is no deal about the bars. There's no deal about tickets. It's everything you put into it, you get back into it because you've paid the venue what they need to be paid in order to for them to have their lights on and to pay everybody and to make us, you know, a profit for that night.
Yeah.
And so that's one option. You can still do deals with this grant, whatever deals you want to do with a venue, if as long as it works within the budget. That's totally up to the venue and to the artists of how they want to negotiate. But we want folks to know that it's a good deal for venues as it is for artists to do a rental so that you have more control. You know you're getting paid. But you also know that if I sell 200 tickets at $20
yeah,
a head,
I'm
going to make this yeah. much money on top. And these other expenses are already paid.
Yeah.
And so that's a big deal that we want to just, and that's part of the industry. That is so standard in our industry. When
right.
I worked in venues, that would happen all the time. We would do full venue rentals.
Yeah.
But they were still public shows that were
yeah, yeah.
publicly ticketed. It's just that the nut was different.
Well, like when U2 comes to town, that's what's happening. They're
yeah.
renting the Irwin Center
yes.
or whatever.
Exactly.
I just said my age, like U2 and the Irwin Center. Like, how old is this guy?
I know. I need to get to that new Moody Center.
I've not been there.
I have not either. Expensive.
Again, it is. That's another thing.
Well, that's the thing I was explaining to folks. Yes, tickets have gotten crazy.
I mean, crazy.
Crazy. And there's reasons for that. There are
yeah,
fees
yeah.
that are unnecessary, but also it's gotten more expensive to host, to be a venue.
Right.
The electricity, like all of that inflation stuff has hit venues just
everything.
As like
yeah.
hit everybody else. So something like the Moody Center with all those lights and everything, and, you know, or ACL Live, it's expensive. And yeah. I can't imagine how much more expensive it's gotten.
Yeah.
And so you can't keep operating at a loss, although venues will operate at a loss, you know, frequently, just yeah. to be sure that they have that show going and that the venue stays alive.
Correct.
And so that's where we just really, you know, this is an education. This grant, not only is it a professional development opportunity for artists to learn about how this industry works so they can advocate for themselves and learn more about how to earn more money, but it's also education around how much this really costs across the board. It isn't one group over the other hoarding all the money.
It's really... Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. just, there's not, it's just all going to expenses.
I'm glad that you said that, because there is that sort of like conspiratorial mind among musicians that don't understand what that didn't grow up in the office of the club. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. It's that, expensive.
It's expensive.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, only do you get to a point of someone who could play the Moody Center where you have some kind of negotiating room. When you, even when you're having mid-level artists that are amazing, like, you know, huge artists like Santa Gold had to, she decided against having a tour because she was like, I can't make it work.
Really?
Yeah. She would go broke. It would have put her into debt. And she had a new record coming out. It was a fantastic record, even some spots with some festivals, of course, but had to cancel the tour. And she did a really great letter, you know, on her Instagram explaining yeah. it, of like breaking it all down, how much it costs.
Yeah.
And so when you have someone that's as successful as her, who can't even tour anymore. And then even folks like The Who are having some issues with the expense of touring. When you, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
So if you,
because they live in castles
yeah,
like that. Yeah,
exactly.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so it's inflation. It's us all coming out of the pandemic and trying to make it work. Then you've also had proliferation of brand new, beautiful venues that, like with the University of Texas, which we understand it's, you know, it's the baseball, it's going to be, I mean, the basketball home, and it's going to, that's great and it's wonderful. And that's a great revenue stream to keep the Moody Center bills paid too, so that
Correct.
They can do
yeah.
music.
Yeah.
And they've shown a commitment to working with local talent with like some off, you know, some stages within, I haven't been there yet, but this is what I know they are
yeah.
already doing
yeah.
this, is providing some opportunities to local talent.
So, I have some friends that have done those, the, yeah. like when you walk up, they're the band playing outside yeah. the thing. Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
more venues that do that, the better. I mean, like, you know, ACL Live opening up 310, that is a great opportunity for local bands
yeah.
to play a room like that sounds like ACL Live. It's
yeah.
amazing. And then, of course, all of our venues on Red River, that is what scares me the most, because it's just so expensive.
Yeah.
And it's harder and harder to park and harder to come downtown. And so that people need to keep all of that in mind. There needs to be grace going all around. There is no one group hoarding that money. We need to all learn together of how to earn more and become sustainable and support each other.
Yeah.
So this is just the first iteration of the Live Music Fund. You know, the Live Music Fund itself is a big bucket. This is our first program out of the gate.
Okay.
The next one will include venues as well as musicians and promoters.
Okay.
And so that will be for next year. So we'll roll this one out first, and those contracts, those agreements will start rolling, and then we'll roll out the next one with the next year's, you know, budget.
Okay.
And so we want to hear from venues. We're about to start a, you know, kind of a campaign with folks to hear from the community. What do you need? What do you most need from a program right now? Would it be a big pool of money to pay local talent so you don't have to worry about guarantees and you just draw down, you know, just get a reimbursement for all your local talent fees? Or is it something else? Like, or is it a grant for $20,000 that does this, this, and this? So that's, we're about to embark on that kind of community engagement with venues and others and the Music Commission to start looking how this could look for the next program. And this is a great thing, that it's an ongoing fund that is, you know, funded by hotel occupancy tax, so that we have an ongoing fund that can fund these programs and try to help our artists stay in Austin and thrive, hopefully.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that I'm going to put this out on Monday, because mm-hmm. because it's timely. And by the way, the deadline for this grant application deadline is May 16th.
Yes, the application deadline is May 16th. We're urging everyone to apply as an individual household. That will cut out a bunch of questions that are not necessary for the grant. It was just their intake questions for the Economic Development Department to learn more about people we're serving. But it can, some of the questions aren't quite relevant to musicians. Even if you have an LLC, there's a lot of questions that aren't relevant. So just to cut all of that out, apply as an individual musician. It's a very easy grant application. And then be creative. Like, look at the guidelines. Read about PI. Read about preservation, innovation, elevation, and collaboration. Understand what we mean by that.
Right.
And then you can really start thinking of like, oh, I've always wanted to work with so-and-so. This is my opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
And you ask them, hey, would you be interested? I was thinking about pitching this idea. What do you think? And, you know, that's fine. It can be a concept. You don't have to have anything confirmed yet. We know how the industry works. Just as long as, like, within 12 months of the, once the agreements are done, that the project happens in some, you know, as
capacity.
That scope. Yeah, in some capacity in the same scope that you proposed.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be the exact talent that you were hoping for, or the exact place, but if it's something like the talent and something like the place that gets to PI, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the grant closes May 16th. We have virtual open office hours every Monday and every Thursday from 2 to 4. You can go to our website, atxmusic.org, and click on the Live Music Fund event program link, and that will take you to the guidelines, to the links for the virtual office hours. And you can also just call us anytime. There's a number there and an email, and we can answer any questions if you don't feel like going to virtual office hours with others. But it's great to go to that because you get to hear other people's questions and learn more.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the educational aspect of it because you're not just giving people money and going, go do whatever you like.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you got to figure out how to do this before we give you this.
Right.
Like, this is, you're going to learn how to do this before you get the cash.
This is tax money. This is your tax money at work.
Yeah.
So we want to show that we are, you know, teaching folks what they need to know to not need the grant, that they are all, it's great to get the grant. And, but also if you can learn through this process of how to earn more money, awesome. That is the most important component of this is trying, and you're not going to be left out. Like if once folks are awarded and they get this grant and they're like, okay, I have no idea how to book a venue. Or I have no idea how who could potentially record my record if it's not me on my bed.
Right,
we'll help with that, and so there will be mentorships and support provided through our third party, the Long Center, to match do matchmaking between artists, promoters, and mentors to help explain whatever it is that you need explaining or some professional development to know how to do it so that the projects that you applied for are actually realized as you intended.
Right.
So we won't leave anybody in the dark and trying to figure it out. This is, again, it's a learning opportunity when you're actually applying, and it's a learning opportunity throughout. And so, and we meet you where you're at. If you already know how to do something, great. Well, what kind of training could you want? Do you want QuickBooks or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
There's other opportunities with our other divisions, with the small business division, and with our other, partners to get some great training.
Right. It's like the thing about the teach a man to fish or give a man a fish. It's almost like you're giving them a fishing pole.
Yeah.
And being like, this is how you fish, but here's the pole. We're going to get you in.
We're going to get you started.
Give you a little something to get going, but you got to do this yourself.
Yeah.
That's great. That's amazing.
And I think it's empowering. It's going to be empowering for people to better understand, oh, that's how this works.
Correct.
And then you can start negotiating, have contracts, negotiate your fees. Just don't go on Facebook and say, this video only paid me this much or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we understand. It's frustrating. It can feel that way, that it's you against the world.
Yeah.
This starts giving you the tools that every musician needs to understand the why and why is it so expensive.
Right.
And also to advocate for yourself. You can go back to whoever your partner is and say, show me, explain to me why my fee for the night is only going to be this, because this is what I can't figure out. And then you have the tools to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
When you're negotiating.
Yeah. And then you're eliminating the, there's no excuses. Like, you understand how the thing works. You're not just like, oh, the venue didn't promote the thing. That's why we didn't have it.
Right.
good turnout.
And so that's another element of this program is, of course, this is geared towards, you know, promoting Austin as a tourist destination for conferences and for tourists to come and check us out, stay at a hotel. But that was like one thing the music industry knows implicitly is how to market themselves and how to be a good promoter, especially to out-of-town tourists, because people come to see live music here all the time. So a lot of us already have like a pretty good, you know, sense of how to promote. What we'll do on top of that is to teach you how to analyze the back end of that information to see where your posts are getting the most traction and why. Right. So it's all that analytics side of it.
Right.
That's one thing that you can post on Instagram, have a million followers, and it's just instinctual. But to look at the back end and really analyze the data to help better understand, ooh, I'm going to promote more in New York. I have a big fan base there, you know. And so, and that's to sell records and merch. It's not just about ticket links. It's about everything you could possibly sell as a musician or a venue or anyone, because it's all about marketing.
Yeah.
But on top of that, we will be spending, continuing our relationship with Visit Austin to do these paid digital spins across the nation to promote Austin artists and venues. Like, we actually will promote ticket links outside of Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, through our relationship with Visit Austin.
Okay.
So we just supplement their marketing efforts with, you know, with more money to say, but we want you to specifically focus on musicians and venues and promote them, not just Austin as an idea or
a
guy
specific.
With a picture with a guitar and a cowboy hat. And that's your, it's specific musicians, specific
venues,
links to merch, specific, you know, events and projects.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're doing. And we got some great response. Talk about the analytics. It was pretty impressive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so if you can go back to the Music Commission and look at the reporting that Omar did from the Visit Austin, I think it was December of 2022.
He gives people a lot of work. I've done some things. Mm-hmm. I went to LA a couple years ago with some friends and played at a thing for them.
Yeah. Oh, go to Visit Austin's website. Yeah. They have a submission form for musicians to apply to be part of their program.
Yeah.
Because they'll take you on tour and pay you to go promote Austin.
Right.
And we also have, as part of this, our application with the city is, you know, it will ask you, are you interested in playing city events? And if you say yes, then you fill out some more information about your genre, what types of events you like to do, do you need backline? And so that puts you into a searchable database that is still internal, but as soon as we hit like that 200 mark, we can make that a public-facing dashboard for the public. Like you say, you have lots of privates.
Right.
We get calls all the time. I need a really good so-and-so kind of band. And so this is, we can quickly like reference them like, oh, go check out this local dashboard and searchable dashboard for, you know, whatever
exactly
genre
what
you're looking for.
Yeah.
And we are also continuing to work with the Texas Music Office on the music directory. And so we manage the Austin portion of all of the musicians, but also music businesses and everything you can think of. And so we're continuing that relationship too.
I miss the physical one. You know, you get it every year.
Yeah.
You have to fill out your thing. I know. It's so great.
Yeah.
I had Brendan on here, and there's no other state with a music office. Although there are other ones thinking about it that he was saying he was talking to and trying to get help started. There's really no other city that has the infrastructure
for
the music business.
Austin is kind of ahead of the curve in the world in terms of a dedicated staff and budget for music industry development. And that started with the Sound Wars of 2009, where, you know, amplified sound.
I remember
sound,
that. Yeah.
With more outdoor venues forming, and there was amplified sound.
So Paulo Vasey was in that.
Exactly.
Yes, I remember this.
He was the first.
He was the guy.
And so what came out of that was, this can't just be about us versus them, you know, residents versus musicians, because we all love music in Austin. And through those initial conversations and collaborations, we were able to get, you know, to a good place about compatibility and amplified sound. And so that's how it started. But then the council and mayor at the time saw that investment in music was integral to our economy here in Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
And weren't they right? You know, it's true. When you look at the formation of all the different festivals and the draws that they bring and the opportunities that it provides for local talent. So we have an actual budget. We have I just hired one more person, and so we're filled out. We have a staff of 4 people, including myself, to do this type of work. And so we'll be doing more grants. We just closed the Creative Space Assistance Program. You know, this closes May 16th, and then we'll start work on the next year's programs of talking to people and see what they need. So Austin is unique.
Extremely.
And we've talked to people all over the world looking at what we're doing. There are nightmares that help with, you know, the economy of the nighttime economy,
right,
across the United States.
Yeah.
But it usually covers all kinds of things, like all kinds of entertainment options.
Right.
But Austin has a unique place in that it focuses on music industry development. We are placed within the Economic Development Department for a reason.
Right.
Because we don't see this as a loss leader. The arts are not a loss leader. They are an economic driver and one of the biggest economic drivers in the state of Texas, compared to energy and tech. I mean, it's one of the top economic drivers for the state.
Yeah. It's pretty unbelievable that there's also outside of even the city, like the Sims, the Ham, the Austin Music Foundation, Black Fret, like there's just so many resources here, mm-hmm, for artists that don't really exist anywhere else,
yeah,
except for now Seattle, I guess.
I know, exactly. Yeah. And that's an Austin artist that started that in Seattle.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it was based on Ham, right? I mean, he was meeting, yeah, with them a lot.
Yes.
Ian Moore started Smash.
Yeah. And Ian Moore still comes back and plays lots of shows, so you guys go check him out next time he's in town.
Yeah.
But yeah, he started that up in Seattle, looking at what we did, because I hear all the time that one of the only reasons people will stay in Austin is because there is support like Sims,
yeah,
and like Ham and,
yeah,
Black Fret, you know, well, the Sonic Guild now.
Sonic Guild, yeah.
And so we have to be sure that those organizations stay strong and have resources to help better serve our musician community, while at the same time having more grants like this to invest,
right,
and to also just do this professional development, this workforce development that we can do, because musicians have unique skills and there are other types of crossover jobs within the film industry and the gaming industry that are high paying jobs that you could get some additional training as a musician to go work in those other areas, make a lot of money and still be able to have time to make music and play. So there's opportunities like that too. It doesn't have to be one way.
Right.
It's the way I learned 20 years ago.
Right.
We have to kind of keep up and keep Austin relevant as a music city beyond,
yeah,
just live music.
Yeah.
And so that's what we aim to do, is to be a music city on par with the big cities like New York and LA that have studios and recording and lots of opportunities. And so that's our hope, is through this type of support and this sector support, is that it's not just about live music, although it's, you know, we love live music, don't get me wrong, but
right,
it has to be more than that.
Yeah.
It has to be a development of across the board.
That's phenomenal, man.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm glad that to work for the city, I see this as a public service, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than this to be able to do the best we can to help folks, because we just want musicians and we want venues to stay and we want them to flourish. And
yeah.
And to be able to buy a house and get married and have kids and do all the things.
Yeah.
And that's getting harder and harder. And so we're just going to keep working at it.
Yeah. It's weird because you never want to be the person that was like, no, man, like when I was coming up, you could, but you could. I mean, you really could. Like, you could afford.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing, too, is like Austin's, because across the board, places are not affordable. My sister lives in Miami. She just had to move out to, like, Homestead because she can't.
Yeah.
She can't handle the prices there either.
Yeah.
So
I know. And it's mostly service. Like, it's a paradox, too, because what forms this is the service industry.
Right.
And that's the most, that hardest hit,
right,
worker. Is the ones that are helping to make this economic drive happen.
Right.
And that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's other support out there through the Hotel Motel Association. They have a foundation that's trying to support service industry workers. So this is another thing that our industry is going to have to do, is do the research. There are more grants and support like this available to musicians or for profits.
Yeah.
It's not just about the nonprofit arts world that has access to this type of support. And so we can provide that type of training as well, and just resources to see where other grants may be, like, you know, national grants, federal grants.
Yeah.
And so there are opportunities. And so it doesn't have to be just one kind of hustle anymore. I mean, it is still somewhat of a hustle, but there are ways to make, to earn more money, other ways of doing it.
And not just earn more money, but learn how to do it yourself for the next time so you can keep on building on that education that you get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to feel empowered. I think I can't stress that enough for musicians, especially.
There's a helplessness.
That you feel like there's nothing I can do. I can't ask for more money because you don't know what you're asking for.
Exactly.
And so this is providing that opportunity to learn and understand it better. And so that it isn't just a select few that have all the answers who know the secrets. It's not a secret. This is just like any other industry of learning best practices and how this works so that you can build your career.
Right.
It's very important.
So. Yeah. Yeah. When did you make a decision? Because you've worked in music, in the industry, in different facets. Mm-hmm. I want to say mostly in marketing but in the music, mm-hmm. venues, festivals.
Yes.
And how did you get started? What pushed you into that? Like, what was your moment where you're like, I want to be in the music industry?
Right. Yeah. Well, I've been in Austin since 1990. I got my first job in the arts in 1998, working for the Austin Museum of Art, which is now the Contemporary. And I worked in development, which was fundraising, as well as curating, starting in the 90s. That led to taking over Cinemaker Co-op and combining it with the Center for Young Cinema to create the Austin School of Film, which is still with us.
Congratulations. And worked there. I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Ann Kelly. She and I were co-founders, and I was the executive director for 10 years. And now our Faiza Crescini is running the school, Austin School of Film, with Ann. She was an intern that started with us, and now she's executive director. So I was in the film industry. I was part of the TXMPA board and working in that part of sector development for Austin. But at the same time, my first South by Southwest was in 1990. I got a wristband for, I think, $15.
Yeah.
We were pretty pissed off when those prices went over 20.
Yeah, yeah.
and so I've seen thousands of shows all over the world because I just love music. And so as I was kind of like coming to the end with Austin School of Film and I was at a crossroads, I think I had turned 40, I was like, what do I want to take all these skills that I've learned? What do I want to really do? And I was like, I really want to work in the music industry. And I really want to work for Austin Psych Fest. And I happened just to run into Alex Moss one day at a show and was like, hey, have you guys ever needed any help? And he's like, actually, we do. And that was how it all kind of started, my path in the music side.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's back, Psych Fest. Didn't it go away for a little while?
They rebranded to Levitation.
Right.
With the intention of always having an Austin Psych Fest event.
Correct.
Because Levitation is a worldwide event now. It takes place in France, takes place here.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Levitation.
And you worked with them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked with Levitation, which is Austin Psych Fest originally, the Reverberation Appreciation Society, actually. And so now the plan was after the rebranding to Levitation, because they're doing these worldwide concerts. They sponsor shows all over the world. They work with different festivals. And they produce records and all kinds of things. Always knew they wanted to bring back Austin Psych Fest as an event, a weekend event, because it's special. There's something slightly different about the curation. And so it's back next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend. So everybody go check it out. It's at the Far Out Lounge, one of the new venues that came out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's doing great. And we're very, happy to see that type of success.
Yeah.
And it's a great fit for Austin Psych Fest. So go check out tickets now. Go check out tickets at all. Go and check out your venues. See who's playing. The shows are coming back. The tours are coming back. But definitely go buy those tickets and go.
So that they can keep coming back. Yeah.
Exactly.
And they have places to go when they do come back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, we need to keep the industry going. I know this is a tough time. We're still coming out of the sea change that the pandemic caused. We're still having economic reverberations from it all. But one thing that not only are we supporting our musicians and our venues and the whole scene by going and still seeing shows, once you're there, even if you're retired, oh, I'm not sure, once you get there and you see the show, you're like jumping up and down and you feel better. And that's the visceral thing about live music and seeing music. You're with an audience that maybe you know them, maybe you don't, maybe it doesn't matter, but you're sharing in this collective experience together. And Austin has that. It's special sauce still here to be able to go enjoy all kinds of music with all kinds of people for relatively inexpensive, like us. When you've got these crazy ticketing prices that we're seeing at the big, big venues, but you know, there are still plenty of reasonable shows to go out and see. But, you know, also don't, it's okay if it's a $20 show and it used to be five.
That's good. Yeah.
It's okay. You know, if a cup of coffee is the same cost as a ticket, there's something wrong there. So we need to also be realistic. It's okay to spend $20 on a ticket.
Yeah. I have that experience every couple of months with the Skyrocket fan that is outraged.
Yeah.
But then you're like, aren't you happy for us? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Man, I used to like coming to see you guys when there weren't so many people at the show. And you're like, well, I mean, we didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so much better on this. Yeah, yeah.
I know. And I think that this next generation that's coming up understand the value. I mean, it's a value. You're paying for a value. Let's not forget that. And to ask for a discount on that is just not the right way to go.
Yeah.
So, because people can't keep playing for free, you know,
or
pay for debt. Like, you're actually going into debt to be a musician or an artist.
Yeah.
It's, that's why it can be disheartening. It can lead to alcoholism and drugs and all kinds of things. You're depressed, but you can't help it because this is your life.
Yeah.
And so this, hopefully, like with support, like this grant, and other means like professional development and mentorship, that we can break that cycle.
Yeah.
So that people can see you don't have to go broke. It doesn't have, this isn't how it has to be.
Right.
You can earn money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a manager once that said to me, starving artist is a poor career choice.
Exactly.
That's
it's a very modern idea that you're supposed to starve as an artist. It's like a postmodernist thinking, and it comes like,
or you're not doing it. Yeah.
It comes from a place probably of privilege, of thinking like, oh, you know, I don't need to get paid. Well, for eons, that's how the big artists like Michelangelo and the huge artists, they had studios, they had interns, you paid.
Yeah.
That was, of course, it was always about getting paid for the value.
Right, right.
And so we lost something of that at the turn of the 20th century, but we're coming out of that, which is good. There's nothing wrong with earning money. You're not selling out.
No. There's nothing wrong with
Don't
it.
Don't let anyone convince you otherwise, because I think that was a very privileged point of view of a few people at one time that influenced a generation of artists to think that that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I look back on my, and the idea of the phrase sellout and what that meant, like when we were in our 20s, it wasn't good. It was very uncool. And then I was in the position where I had chances to sell out and do some things that, you know, my guys and me were like, should we do this? Like, no, we're going to look like terrible people. And like the next year, Moby put out Play, and then all of a sudden getting your song licensed for something became the greatest. It became licensing. It wasn't selling out. It was like, oh, I got a license.
It's a great deal.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, please learn. And that's another thing that we will teach with our training.
Yeah.
What does sync licensing mean?
Right.
What is right? You know, sync and regular licensing, publishing, these are assets. You have, you can actually leverage a portfolio of published songs as a down payment on a house.
And oh, really?
It's considered a monetary asset.
Wow.
And so that's why, you know, if you sell it, let's say you sell one song to a big person, it's a huge hit, and then you're getting residuals on that. That's what the asset is. It's how much that is going to make for you for the rest of your life versus, and how many more placements it potentially can get.
Right.
So yes, that's where Nashville understood that. And that's why there's so many great publishers that are in, you know, Nashville and Canada and Toronto, and that we would love to see more investment in Austin around publishing and music supervisors looking in Austin. We have music supervisors that work for big companies here that are still looking in LA and New York. It's like, why don't you look at here Austin local talent?
Right.
So there is a whole network of money making possibility that is not selling out. I don't think Dolly Parton sold out or Willie Nelson sold out.
Nobody thinks about that anymore. Like now people that are in their 20s companies are like, they're trying to get an Apple commercial or something like that. I wanted to really quickly touch on you. There's several programs and services that you guys have, not just these grants, but you have the Creative Industry Funding and Support, which is grants, artist development, which I found really cool that you guys, I didn't even realize that that was part of the thing until I went through it today. Program partnerships that are both national and international, and services assistance with the permits and codes and stuff, which is a tough thing.
Yes, definitely. So if you have a question about street performing, you know, busking, if you have questions about can I do this in a park, we kind of steer you in all the different directions. Our website is pretty good in terms of finding what you need, but call us anytime. We're here to serve and to sit with you and answer any questions you might have. Because one thing that's great about the city is allowed me to hire professional musicians as staff.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, they hired me, you know, as coming from the industry and understanding it implicitly. And we've been able to form a team of amazing people that know what they're talking about. And so we're also informing our city counterparts. Well, actually, that's not how it works in the industry. And let me explain how this could be leveraged better so that it really does help the music industry, for instance. And so that's been great. And that, and there are a lot of jobs at the city if anybody's ever interested, too. So,
sounds good. I could walk there if I got a job there.
Well, no jobs left in the music and entertainment.
No, I mean just the city.
But the city has great benefits, everybody. And it's flexible. Like, there's a lot of working musicians that work there and can go on tour because you get, like, accrued vacation time. So you just have to get a sign-off from your director, whatever. But people do it all the time.
Right.
And so, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
There's a pension.
Yeah, it's like a real job with real stuff. There's people that, like, there's all kinds of people. I can't name them off the top of my head, but there are guys that I ran with in the 90s that worked for the state and stuff like that. Yeah. And they're like, dude, it's just like, how am I not going to do this?
Yeah, no, it's great.
Like, I can live a life.
It gives you the time also to still be a musician, do what you want to do. That's totally doable. And yeah, it's actual real support. Like, and you're doing a public service, which is another thing that you feel good about because it's all about helping the community. And I get just, it's wonderful for me because I get to help the community that, my community, you know, the music community and the artist community. So.
Yeah. What a great thing. Like, this is, it's been really great. And also, like, you are so good at delivering this information.
Oh, thanks.
And I thought when I first asked you, one of the reasons was I didn't see you on it, but I saw you were going on a morning show, and nothing against them, but there's such a quick slice. You get a very finite amount of time.
Yeah.
And I thought with something like this, having someone explain it and talk it through like in a normal way, then people wouldn't be so intimidated by it to go apply for these grants and stuff.
Totally. And we will be happy to speak with you one-on-one to just walk through everything, answer any questions. But those virtual office hours are really helpful because, like I said, you get to see people online, your counterparts, your peers, and you get to learn from each other.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that's community building.
Yeah.
We have to get off out of our silos of, it's not competition.
No.
And this is, we are better together and working together, collaborating. And that's why the guidelines specifically are trying to promote that collaboration to break down those barriers. Right. This is not a competition because we'll all lose if that's the case.
Exactly right.
So thank you for having me. I really appreciate the support and getting the word out.
Yeah, of course. And thank you for doing the show, and thank you for everything you do. And that you're going to keep on doing.
Yeah.
And whenever you want to come on, just let me know.
Cool.
And like, you want something, you want to talk about something. This is really important stuff to get out there. And I think to get it out there in a conversational way, it gives it a little bit more depth and people can like see into it a little bit more.
Right. Well, I thank you.
And yeah, I thank you.
Keep it up.
You too. You too. Will Again, go to atxmusic.org to find out more about the City of Austin Music and Entertainment Division, and particularly the Live Music Fund event program, which, by the way, the deadline for applications is May 16th. So go to atxmusic.org, figure out what you need to do. I want to thank Erica for taking time out of her day for coming over to the apartment. There's a lot of work she's doing. She's looking over a lot of people's submissions and stuff, but I wanted to make sure that we as a community get educated. If you're listening from somewhere else, man, you see that Austin really has a fantastic infrastructure for its music place. I mean, really, like, I've never seen anything like it. It's kind of ridiculous when you're talking to people about it from another city. They're like, what? Anyway, Austin's a great place. I love it. Eric is a great person. The City of Austin Music and Entertainment Division is a fantastic organization. Find them at atxmusic.org. And gang, don't forget, when you're out there checking out atxmusic.org, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you find podcasts, be it Spotify, Overcast, TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, anywhere. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. This week, there's 3 shows. So there's 2 more shows coming on Wednesday and Friday. Stay tuned. Subscribe. Rate us. Let us know how we're doing. Follow me on Instagram or Twitter. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you're still on Facebook, follow the How Did I Get Here there. All right? You have a great week. I'll talk to you on Wednesday. Let's get down.